I apologize because last week I said we were speaking about something else. I changed the topic. I had in mind last week maybe to speak about Tu B'Shvat, but I thought it would be somewhat of a Shvach topic, so I didn't want to discuss it. And then, Rachman al-Son, when there was the bombing this week in Eretz Yisrael, the murder of innocent Jewish souls, so I always remember what a big Rav once told me when we were discussing it, and he said that one of the ways that we could answer them during the time when, God forbid, there's a bombing, is to learn Torah, but specifically to be Oisik in something that has to do with Eretz Yisrael. This is, he said, a very important inyan, and so that's why really it came on my mind. And furthermore, when I went to a shir this week, which I'll mention at the end of the shir, it kind of brought everything together for me, and we're actually going to be doing two topics tonight. The first topic being that of Tu B'Shvat, and then tying Tu B'Shvat into Shabbos Shira. This is a big Shabbos, but Baruch Hashem, it's one of the few big Shabboses that really doesn't affect us in any way as far as when Shul's going to end. We don't take out two Sifrei Torah, so we read the Az Yashir, but it doesn't take much longer. We don't do anything for Tu B'Shvat, so you don't have to worry so much. But, right, and Shul, we'll see what you do with your homes. We'll see where that came from. So I'm sure we all know when we're growing up, so some of us, like myself, were, I just wanted to dedicate this year in memory of one of the Kedoshim that died. His name is Rabbi Chesky Goldberg. Chesky Goldberg was a writer for the Jewish press. Among other things, he was an Eilus Eretz Yisrael who was a counselor specifically on substance abuse. And he lived in Yerushalayim, and one of the amazing things that he did was when kids would come to Israel for the year, so because he was obviously an English-speaking person, those who had problems with substance abuse and many other problems, he would be the one, he was considered one of the experts, and he had a tremendous amount of hashbah on these people to change their lives. And Rachman al-Son, he was one of the kedoshim, as many kids, that he left Yisoyimim, Shavi L'Zechru Nishmoso. It happened to be that in last week's Jewish press, he was writing, actually, to be mechazik, those that live in Golos, how it's not so hard to move to Eretz Yisrael, to do Aliyah. So that should be a chizik for us. I remember when I was growing up, so whenever Tu B'Shvat came, there was somewhat of an excitement because you always, with the school, at least the way it was where I went, so you always would get a delivery of this beautiful basket. And in some years, so the basket would be in the container, you wouldn't know what's inside, and ooh, chocolate, you know, and then you remember, you didn't know Tu B'Shvat. Right, and you'd open it up, and the box there and this, and everybody would be fighting over the raisins, because that was the only thing you could eat. You can imagine kids fighting over raisins. That's part of it. So where did this come from? The Dafka. Where did it come from? What's Tubav, really? That's really what we want to focus on. So we know that, So we know that, firstly, the Gemara says, the famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, there are different types of Rosh Hashanah. There's the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan, Elul, Tishrei, and we know Shvat, so Machloikas by Shvat. Is it the 15th, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai says no, it's the first of Shvat. So the technical reasons, what each of them are. Nisan, we know, is Rosh Hashanah for the Shanim. Elul, Rosh Hashanah for the tithing of the animals. And Tishrei, of course, we know Rosh Hashanah for the Olam. It has to do with Shemitah, with Yovel, with Orla. The truth is that Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, has a lot to do, l'halacha l'maisem, has a lot to do with Eretz Yisrael, and that's really what the connection is. We'll bring out another connection later on. The interesting thing about Tu B'Shvat is, if you conceptually think about the holidays that we have during the year, from the Torah, the biggest lag of holidays is between Sukkot and Pesach. So Baruch Hashem, in the infinite wisdom of the Ribbono Shalom, he knew that there would be a tremendous lag, and he created Chanukah and Purim, which mamash come between the times. But the truth is, as we know, at the end of Chanukah, the Hasidim, they wish everybody a good winter. This is going to be the difficult time. To mechazik you from Chanukah until Purim, it's difficult. And here in between, you have this holiday called Tu B'Shvat. And Tu B'Shvat is when things turn around. It's supposed to be, theoretically, it's the time where everything should turn around as far as the weather. Right? As bad as the weather was, so this is supposed to be the break in the weather. I guess, according to what the groundhog saw, we'll tell you about that. But that's theoretically what it's supposed to be. It also reminds us that the 15th, so we only have 4 weeks until Purim. Another 4 weeks is going to be Pesach. So things are going to be looking better despite what. And of course it teaches us about Eretz Yisrael. So there's a machloekes, interestingly enough, in the Gemara, what exactly Tu B'Shvat represents. Is it, we know it's Rosh Hashanah Lilanot, nobody denies that. Machloekes is, what is it at the beginning of? So we normally say it's the beginning of the sprouting, the budding of the fruits in Eretz Yisrael. And interestingly though, the Tosla says that, the Rambam disagrees. And he says that it's the ripening of the fruit. And the Meiri, which this edition came out later on, says the same thing. It's when a small fruit is seen. So Rabbi Zevin in his Sefer, Hamodim Halacha, he says that he thinks that we all want to say that it's the budding because that makes more sense. So if you're going to tell me there's a ripe fruit already in January, it doesn't make any sense. But he says, let us not forget the Mishnah in Masros. The Mishnah in Masros says, I have just received, this was in Babel, from Yerushalayim, I received a fruit that is almost ripe already. And I received, this fruit was sent to me already in before Kislev, in Tevet already. So he said it is possible. We normally say it's the budding, which again we'll see in the more of the Jewish later on, what exactly that has to do. Rabbi Kitov in his Sefer, Rav Eliyahu Kitov says that this is the day of Shevach le'Eretz Yisrael, to remember the Eretz Chitos Orah, right? To remember that this is the Eretz of Shem and Dvash, and this is the day in Eretz Yisrael specifically, but all around, where the soil is strengthened, and the land is renewed. And we know that there's a halacha l'maisa, there's a lot of halachas that we learn from this. As far as when it comes to Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochah to do all these mitzvahs of Revai, of Orla. Some people say even it applies to Shemitah, but of all the maestros, when it is, the 15th is the cutoff date. So there's a lot of halachas l'maisa that it has to do with this. In Eretz Yisrael, certainly. So the first source of this is actually not on the first page, but the first source really comes from what the Mordechai say. The Mordechai says in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Agos Mino says something very similar in Hilchos Shofar, and that is that he draws a distinction. He calls it the group distinction. He says, just like the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah there's four Rosh Hashanahs, so just like on Rosh Hashanah of the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, we know that we wouldn't fast, so too you can't fast on Tu B'Shvat. So that's number one, that's problematic for some other reasons. If we go way back to one of our first shiurim about Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, we had mentioned that there are those who say it's mutter to actually fast. But furthermore, why are you allowed to group this? So Rabbi Zevin, in his sefer, says as well, he says that the truth is, their source, the Mordechai source, is really the Maharam of Rutenberg. So let's see what the Maharam of Rutenberg says about this. So the Maharam of Rutenberg gives a number of proofs, one from the Gemara in Marikatan, which shows how we can group, why we group laws together, and that you can group laws together, and this is the original source. And in his infinite wisdom, he said, this Maharam of Rutenberg didn't invent this. This comes way back from the Amoraim. He quotes from the Gershuni and so on and so forth, that this is the original source of it. And really what I want to show tonight is that some of us might think that this is a Tzionisha holiday. This is a holiday that was created after the establishment of Medina Yisrael. It became much more popular. Certainly it did become more popular. There's no question about that. And therefore they instituted all these different things about what to do with the Peiros and so on and so forth. This clearly is not true. As we'll see in a number of sources, in Halacha this isn't true. So if you look at the first source in the Shulchan Aruch, we see about Tachanun and Tu B'Shvat. So there's no question, as I hope one day we'll be able to discuss, that Tachanun in itself, the Filas Apayim, is very, very strict. And that we don't just stop not say Tachanun. Okay? In other branches is not appropriate to say, but the Hasidim we know, so people make fun that they always don't say Tachanun, right? By Mincha, I grew up, that this my family men goes, we never say Tachanun and Mincha. I mean, now we say Tachanun and Mincha because we daven Ashkenaz. We never say Tachanun and Mincha. This Menela actually probably started because we always daven Mincha after Shkia, so that's what Lachal says. But still, there are many shuls who will daven at 1 o'clock. They won't say Tachanun, and they don't say. But we Bnei Ashkenaz, the less Hasidic, we're very careful about when we say Tachanun, right? And this is one of the debates about Yom HaTzmoed, about saying Tachanun. Not so partial, just not to say Tachanun. We have to be very careful. And there are many, with a bris and so on and so forth. We really should be careful. Sometimes we're so happy. It's a Monday. It's a Thursday. You know, today somebody yesterday Kriyas HaTorah, somebody came into the minyan davening. And they say, he's screaming at, not screaming, it's like, it's 7:58. So he's screaming at the guy. He goes, where's your son? Where's your son? He got married last night. Where is he? Bring him in. He says, bring him in. He goes, I don't care about Tuesday, Wednesday. Bring him in Thursday. Thursday, bring him in. You know, because it's a Tachanun Shalom. We should say Tachanun. But Tachanun is an unbelievable, beautiful prayer. So we should be careful that we should try to say Tachanun. And it's the strength of Tachanun. The Gemara, the famous Gemara that says about the story about the two Tanaim that were fighting with each other. And that the happened to be, I forgot what the names were, so it happened to be that the brother-in-law, meaning the wife's brother, was fighting with this rabbi, Tanayim, and she knew that if he had the power to say Tachanun, when he said Tachanun, one of the things he would ask her in Tachanun is that this guy dropped dead. And so every day when he was in davening, she would go interrupt him. He would finish the Shemoneh Esrei, and she says, honey, I need something. So that he would interrupt, and when he interrupted, that he didn't have the same power. So came along a day that she thought was Rosh Chodesh, and it turned out it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. He said Tachanun, knew what happened. The brother-in-law dropped dead. Her brother dropped dead. So we see the power of Tachanun. That's why you can't interrupt. You can't talk during Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. So despite that, look what the halacha says. Nogu shalo lipo alpenayim betubav, which we'll discuss much later on in the summer. V'lo betubishvat, not Rosh Chodesh, so on and so forth. So we learned that there's a halacha, clear, paskin halacha, nobody says tachanun on tubishvat. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the tubishvat, shehu Rosh Hashanah li'ilonot, v'nogin ha'ashkenazim harbos, ad b'nine peiros shel ilonos. This is not a Sizyonic Shishaling. Maybe it is. But the Mishnah Berurah himself says this was the Minhag of Ashkenaz, to have more Peiros of the Ilonos. Interestingly, that he doesn't discuss specifically of Eretz Yisrael. There's some venture to say that it was an impossibility. Why would he discuss it? They're going to get a Peiros from Eretz Yisrael. You're crazy. How would they be able to do that? So maybe that's part of it. And also, even if they were able to, it was so incredibly expensive. We'll see later on how people went out of their way to do this. But that's possibly. The Ber Hetev, the Magen Avram, they all pass in this way. They quote the same source and say, Laharbos b'mine peiros shalimonos. That's one of the actions that we have to do on Tu B'Shvat. Maybe as opposed to Tu B'Av, maybe there's not a lot of actions. What is the source? We'll see some of the sources. I mean, they quote a source. I have to look it up. I don't remember. He quotes one of the sources. I never heard of it before as being the source. It might come from the Mordechai and so on and so forth. But the question is, what's the source of B'nai Ashkenaz Laharbos being made Peiros? That I'm not sure. So he if you look at the Ber Hetev on that and then quote it, I think he quotes what the source is. The next thing, so also there's, you have to understand also that there's levels of Simcha, let's call it. One of them is Tachanun, one of them is fasting, one of them is Hesped. So, the Shulchan Aruch later on Tav Kuf Ayin Beis says as follows: Tibor Shebikshu Ligzor Tanis Sheni V'Chamishi. Right, so we happen to be now we're in the parshios of Shovim Tav and Olipir. So Shovim, the parshios of Shmos, right, Bo Bashalos. So there's the custom that people fast Monday and Thursdays. So the question is, and what if they or you had a big, there was a Nebuchadnezzar wasn't raiding in Eretz Yisrael, so they made it a Tanis Sheni V'Chamishi. And it happened to be V'Sheni V'Poga V'Tanis Tu B'Shvat. And it happened to be that Monday or the Thursday was Tu B'Shvat. Tanis Anitcha L'Shavas Haba Kadei Shalom goes V'Tanis B'Tu B'Shvat Shu Rosh Chodesh Ilanos. So what does it say? Not only do we not allow to fast Shatanis Nitcha L'Shavas Haba. Right, to the, I don't think it's talking about Shabbos, so the week after. So, the we see in the halacha, so a person is not allowed. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, so this maybe could be somewhat of a lessening of the answer. He says that, Pam Echad Gazar Hamariel, Shul Echel Basar Bechol Yom Sheni. So instead of having an actual fast day, Ad Rosh Hashanah. So he said, from this day on, you shouldn't have Basar, because we need to do Tshuva in some way. The Chal, Tuba'av, Yom HaSheni, so the Tu B'Av came, this is Tu B'Av, I know it's talking about Tu B'Av, Yom HaSheni, V'lo Ratzel Echol Basar, Alo De'arim Kepim. So Tu B'Av is generally very much categorized together with Tu B'Shvat. So maybe the same halacha would be that wouldn't be, meaning the Simcha of Tu B'Shvat is not exactly the same as other Yom. It's not Chanukah, it's not Purim. where we would say you have a chiyuv suda. So probably don't have a chiyuv suda. He brings a min of the Mishnah Berurah that no gemar ashkenaz b'harbos, but it's not the same. So it happens to be that the halacha is quoted as well by Hespin and Tanis. It's also by Hespin and Tanis. Only by a Talmud Chacham would be allowed for one to say a Hespin. So this is also an amazing thing. You imagine, I mean, people don't even know it's Tu B'Shvat. So it's Tu B'Shvat. You don't even know it's Tu B'Shvat. And then Rachman al-Son, someone dies, and then there's no Hespedim. It's a real day in the year. Hopefully we'll get to discuss as well. The Lag B'Omer is lumped with this as well. What's Lag B'Omer as far as the status? Question is asked in the Mishnah Berurah as well, in Siman Tov Kuv Ayin Gimel, about fasting for a chasan and kala. Special segulas, they should fast. And he says, no. He says, aval, be'isruchag, u'betuba'av, u'betubishvat, eino, misana, keban, shehizkav v'gamara. Right, there are Yesh Mekilim, Yom Mishem. So this is a halacha. We know that there are people that actually do fast. I would say most people fast on the day that they're getting married. So there are different kulas on that. It's not mamash halacha that you have to fast. In fact, it's recommended by many that a person who is not a good faster, he shouldn't fast. You know, we don't want him fainting during the chuppah, which has happened before. So interestingly, we know about the Tu B'Shvat Seder. I think that's become much more popular. So I think that there's a source for it. I discussed this with someone. They said, yeah, there's a source for it, but it's not really. It was something that was dug up. And yeah, that might be more along the line. The Chassidim happens to be the Chassidim have a Tu B'Shvat Seder. I'm sorry to use the term, but it's not a theodish thing. But I think the B'nai Akiva movement took that Chassidish Seder, and they took that, and they're very popular because it has to do with Eretz Yisrael. So look at source number 6. In one of my favorite Sfarim, the Pesukei Teshuvos, so he quotes many different sources, which I wouldn't normally get to see, on what the different minhagim are. He says, the Sefer Moed L'chol Chag, so he quotes so on and so forth, basically, this is important, should the Iker, L'echol the Iker, Mizayin Minim, She Nish. Tavcha Bahem Eretz Yisrael Ve'od Neviyah Sham Sheyesh Nogim Echol. That would make sense. Two Minei Peiros, right? 16 different types of Peiros. Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have much. You know, it used to be that would be difficult. But that a person. So this is where it comes to Eretz Yisrael. So we know the connection between Eretz Yisrael, and it's important to first of all understand what's the connection between Eretz Yisrael. Is that this holiday has a lot to do with Eretz Yisrael. First of all, whenever we talk about in general, whenever we talk about different halachas. Specifically this one, when we're talking about, this is all about Meister, this is all about Netzer Revai, so on and so forth. So it obviously has a lot to do with Eretz Yisrael, but even more than that, to say that this is a time where it's resoiled and so on and so forth, this is when the tree's going to be judged, how much fruit they're going to give later on. So that has a lot to do with Eretz Yisrael, and that's where the Iker is. Yes, over here as well. When we talk about rain, so the Iker rain we're talking about is in Eretz Yisrael. When we say Masha Ruach Mer Nagashem, so it's more of a prayer for Eretz Yisrael. Yes, we say Baruch Aleinu. That has to do with us as well. Obviously, we want Parnassah. But it's also Eretz Yisrael is the source. So he quotes that this is the source. It should be mamish from Eretz Yisrael. It's probably nice as well to have your apricots and have things that are not from Eretz Yisrael. We don't say the Ala Milchion, the Ala Peirison. Then he quotes the Sefer Birchas Aliyahu. I'm sorry, Maharam Chagiz. So he says, also then the Machlech is about how many Peiros to have. He had 30, this one had 13, this one had 24, okay, fine. So then he says, then he quotes, interestingly enough, the Yerushalmi. He says, this is the Yerushalmi that discusses this. And the Yerushalmi says that he says, oh, the Ikvev Yerushalmi is there. Oichlin b'tu b'shvat, gam kenine peiris ha'adama. So the question, does it only apply? There's also a Peiros Adoma. What about Peiros Adoma? Fine. So the interesting thing is, if you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 5 lines, well, 6 lines, the last word on the line is that Asid Itar. Itar Litain. So he says that, this is very interesting. The question becomes, so really the Yerushalmi says, oyvavoy on people who have the fruits of Eretz Yisrael in front of them, and they don't make the bracha on them, right? So he says, what does that mean, oyva v'lo yamem? What's the lashon that, meaning these people are going to be in trouble? So he says, how can it be, the kamosha enu nichshav, the enu of tubas, that you don't see the malos of these fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and this is what Elizabeth and Choshim Lishmai, how can you not have the Paris of Eretz Yisrael when it's in front of you? This, yes, if you don't take Shevach, the Hodah, to Hashem, Yisalov, so then you're going to be in trouble. When you have these fruits in front of you, yes, you should be Yisharach of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the question will become, quite obviously, what if you don't like the Paris of Eretz Yisrael, right? So, I'm trying to look for this. What is the source of Buxer? For the Paris of Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. Right, this is fake, it's a form of a fake? Buxer? No. It's his own thing, no? The Buxer tree, yeah. So the fig, you understand, so the fig. So let's say a guy doesn't like a fig. So he doesn't like a fig, so we're going to force him to have a fig. So, of course not. We're not going to say, oh, you have oil on you, you didn't have the fig. You don't like the fruit, you don't like the fruit, just like anything else. We say by halach is a basar v'yayin, they should have basar v'yayin yontif. So nebuch, there are people who don't like basar. I don't understand this. But apparently this is true. So people don't like basar, they rather have milchiks. The halach is very clear. Simchus yontif is really defined individually. Right, we have the Rambam, Hamas Tekan, we mentioned this before. The Rambam says that what is simcha mean on Yantiv? So for women, we know, you buy them nice clothing. For the kids, you buy them, you get them some nuts, you know. Nowadays, I assume it's not nuts, it's toys. And for the men, basar v'yayin. B'lav davka basar v'yayin. If a person loves a good, potato kinesh, so also. So, okay, some people say it has to be something chashuva, maybe it has to be fish. Okay. But, we're not going to force you to do it, but we see the milos of Eretz Yisrael. And many people quote the Bach. Actually, there's a very famous sefer that came out only about a year ago, less than a year ago. And unfortunately, the name of the sefer is escaping me now. It is the Torah Journal of the Beis Medrash of Bergen County. So the Torah Journal of Bergen County, what was it called? Or Torah or something like that? Okay. So in that Torah journal, there's a mimer written. This is a Torah journal, if I'm not mistaken, came out right before Purim last year. Torah Or. So it came out right before Purim, and unfortunately, the editors were told people that it's going to come out before Tu B'Shvat. So somebody wrote an article on Tu B'Shvat. It happened to be a friend of mine, Ari Ginsberg. So I went over this with Ari Ginsberg, and he's going to be very happy because he asked me to mention him during this year. And so he showed me, which many sources quote, this Bach. So the Bach in number 7. So there's a shaila about, we know that there's a halacha, and this is a very serious halacha that sometimes we might forget, even when it comes to raisins, that you say, we don't say barin nefashos on raisins. Right? You say al ha'eitz, al pri ha'eitz. When everything there is Israel, it has a separate milah. So there's a shaila whether or not you say in the Alamichya, the Kedusha of the Torah, when it comes to the Peira, excuse me. So the Bach has an unbelievable pshat here. It's Mamish in the middle of discussing about Alamichya, but it has a lot to do with Tu B'Shvat. And he says that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael happens because of the fruit. That is because of the payments of Eretz Yisrael that gives us a kedusha. It's an unbelievable, I didn't quote the whole thing. If you look at it inside, to the Bach and Simon Reish Chet, it's like one of the most beautiful, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but for those who love Eretz Yisrael so much, which obviously we all do, he says that the payments of Eretz Yisrael, that's the godliness of Eretz Yisrael, that's how we get Eretz Yisrael is through the Paris of Eretz Yisrael. That's why we're Zoychet Eretz Yisrael for the Paris of Eretz Yisrael. And of course you have to say Kedusha with Torah. How can you not say it? Is a machleik, is me in the slach. Okay. So, this, many people quote in saying, this is what Tu B'Shvat has to do. That because we received Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha of the Paros, that's why it's Eretz Yisrael and are interrelated to each other. Some of the cute sources what people do, so the Hamod de Mahalach, as we quoted before, Rabbi Zevin Sefer, so he goes on about the Minog Ashkenaz, which we discussed already, and then he said that the two Bishvat, this is in number 8, Yamdus, so the, apparently the Svardim, the Yeshiva saying, this is in the Luach Eretz Yisrael, the famous Luach of Eretz Yisrael, says, Kol HaLaila, they sit and they learn all the night, and they eat all the peiros, and imsarim ba'ir, they learn, and so it's a very, very nice thing. And then he quotes the Sefer Pre-Eitz Hadar, which from the written in 1870, so this goes back many, many years, that Betuja Nagu Bo Rabbi Yuris Hashem Bechashivishma. This is a day of fear because we're being judged. It's like we're being judged. We'll get to the Jewish part shortly. And then he brings also a minhag about the Esrog that's quoted in the Bnei Yisaskar. So the Bnei Yisaskar says as follows. In the Maimor and Chodesh Shvat, he says like this. Yesh L'Rameiz Ma Shekiblu Nerwaseinu L'His Palo Betu B'Shvat Al Esrog Kosher V'Yofim Huder. Since the Peiros are going to be judged nowadays, so what you should do, you should, on Tu B'Shvat, you should say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, no, my Esrog, it's going to be judged today. Let it be a good Esrog. Let it be a Mahajan Esrog. Don't let it get too many marks on it. Let it be a good one. Okay? So, obviously, Chassidus Shazach. But, and he says this, we should do it. So, and they said that Minogim, that there's even a Minog, that's quoted, that there are people, Le'echol, they take the Esrog, they save the Esrog up from Sukkot. They made it into jelly or something. I don't think you could hold this that long unless you freeze dry. I don't know. And he says, but you should be careful not to say Shechayana on it because it's not really a new fruit. Okay, whatever. But, he even goes as far as that. And he also says that the Hayu Sadikim, and the Hayu Sadikim Shalom Shabigda Yantiv Betu B'Shvat. Ki Hu Rosh Hashanah Leonos Adam Eitha Sada. So this is my segue. Right, exactly. I hope we'll make the time. A person should wear, right, because Ki Adam Eitha Sada. This is a famous passage that's quoted in relation to Ki Adam Eitha Sada, that there are many things, many ways that we could draw us together to Tu B'Shvat. That we are really similar to Tu B'Shvat in the way saying that if we go according to this sheet of saying, according to Tosfos, as many say, that this is the time of the blossoming. This is where you see mamash. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, not even in America, you wouldn't see this. We have a problem even in Nissan seeing this, the budding of the fruit. So if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go, you see a little bit of, right? You see a little bit of the budding of the fruit. So the shaila would be, is that, what does this have to do? Why is this Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? Why isn't Rosh Hashanah Lilanos the time where we should be Meshabeach, the Ribbono Shel Olam, for giving us beautiful fruit, right when the fruits are coming out, where you start to see, wow, this is going to be a beautiful peach tree. So the answer is, possibly, that this is in relations to man. Ki adam ki eitz hasada, that a person is compared to the tree. And that this is a time when we say to man that you don't know everything that's going to happen. There are some times you have to live for the present, right? What happened before, okay. What happens in the future? You have to have, if you talk on the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything's going to be okay. In a chanami, you can daven for everything. But that's what you have to have. And that leads me into the Shabbos Shira part of this year, which is in relations to Tu B'Shvat. In one posting in Shabbat, in the Shira. So clearly this has a lot to do with what we're learning now because we actually finished Ashrei last week and we didn't get to do some of the Halukas, so the Yad Yashir sticks in the middle over there. So one of the interesting things about the Yad Yashir that we say in davening every day is that we repeat one of the psukim twice. There's clearly in the Torah we don't. And that's the posting of Hashem Yimlochli along the way. Why do we repeat the posting twice? So maybe there's a very, very important message in that posting. Look what in number 9, this is quoted from the Mechilta in Parsha Shmos, and our Parsha says, Rav Yossi Haglili Omer, Ilu Amru Yisrael Al Hayam Hashem Melech Olam Vaed, Lohaya Umav Loshon Sholtes Bahem Li Olam, Ella Amru Hashem Yimloch Olam Vasavavav. Rav Yossi Haglili says, if we would have said Hashem is king, meaning in the present, no nation would ever be powerful enough to dominate us. Others say that what Mechilta means is that the Mashiach would come. But since the only son of Hashem will reign forever, so this is in the future. So it's an unbelievable concept. But we're saying that even in the time, and this is a difficult concept because what do we say? Yecheskel, we say that Shifcha, that saw Kriyas Yamsuf, she had more enlightenment than Yecheskel ben Buzi. How can it be? We read the Haftorah, and it's such a difficult Haftorah. We read about Yecheskel, so. They say that Rav Schwab, so he used to get the Haftorah, I remember which parsha is, when they would read the Yecheskel, because it was so difficult. He said, because he was the one who would get up there and admit, I have no idea what's going on, I'm just reading Haftorah. As opposed to other people who are reading it and saying, oh, I know what's going on, I know. So that's what they said about Rav Schwab. So The shaila is, how can it be? How can they only say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed? Hashem will reign forever. You're telling me they didn't see that Hashem reigned, that now? Let's give you a pshat I heard from many, many years ago from Rav Ellinger. Rav Ellinger, at least at that time, was the Rosh Kollel of the Yeshiva Smir in Brooklyn. And he said the following thing. Actually, I heard a few years ago a very, very similar pshat from Rav Matzkel Solomon. So he quoted the Yihi Chavod. What does it say when we say Yihi Chavod? Again, we're going back to Pesukei Zimra. So one of the Pesukim Yihi Chavod is what? Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. Hashem is king, Hashem was king, Hashem will be king. So he says, that's grammatically incorrect. It should say that. It should say Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. Hashem was, is, and will be. Why doesn't it say that? It says that the Yihi Chavod is a very beautiful prayer, but more than it being beautiful, is one that was not created by David HaMelech. It was different psukim that were put together. And they were in very specific order, the number of times it says Hashem's name, and the order of it is very specific. That we wanted, the Chazal wanted to teach us Hashem Moloch, that Hashem Melech, that Hashem is Melech, meaning that many Jews, even non-affiliated Jews, if you ask them, do you believe that Moshe gave the Torah in Har Sinai, they said yes. That means they believe that Hashem was king. Do you believe in Avraham Yitzchak? Yes, I believe in Avraham Yitzchak. And even some of them will also believe that Mashiach is going to come in the future. Hashem Melech, yes, he will reign. But when you ask them, Hashem Melech, do you believe that Hashem's king now? Which means if you believe that Hashem's king now, you won't do any sins. So many of us, as much as we think we believe that, we don't believe that. So much so that Hashem had to give us a Rosh Hashanah to bring this point home. Even though many people think that the point of Rosh Hashanah is a day of introspection, of doing tshuva, it is not a day of doing tshuva. As we learned, the reason why there's a simcha of Rosh Hashanah is because it's not a day of bakasha. It's not a day where we're supposed to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to save us and to have a good year. That's what Yom Kippur is for. It's to put us in the state of mind where we can ask Hashem, that we can recognize we spend an entire day in shul repeating and repeating that this is the day, you're king. What does it mean, you're king? It means I live in the present. I recognize Hashem is king. I'm not going to do anything bad. And this is the important point of Shabbos Shira. That even in the time when they saw the tremendous miracles of the splitting of the Red Sea, I mean, come on. Even in that time, they said, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. And it teaches us the lesson of having to live in the present. And that this is something that we have to focus on. And that's what Tu B'Shvat is teaching us as well. That Tu B'Shvat is teaching us in this time, where it's the middle of the winter, the worst possible time that it can be. Snowing, it's raining, people's roofs are caving in, people have an ice storm, so on and so forth. And I'm giving you my suspicion in my house, but we're in the basement, but everybody's having these things. This is the time where you say, Hashem Melech, I believe it, whatever it is, I need this for a reason, it's kapar, okay, it doesn't matter. And further, this is brought out to me by, as I said before, I heard the shiur this week. So I heard a shiur by Rabbi Elohu Marav. Rabbi Marav is the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva called Mechemes Sion, Shuvu Banim. So Mechemes Sion is the Breslov Yeshiva in the Old City. Not just in the Old City, in the Muslim Quarter. So I didn't know this until when I got a bracha from him. I remembered I actually was in the yeshiva. We did, when I was in Yeshiva Dakota, we did Hakav Shnius in this Breslov place. It was very, very heightened level of Kedusha. They were on a much higher level than I'll be on. I'm hoping that was a level that they were on based on their happiness and not based on any other physical thing. And so he gave a shiur, and in his shiur he spoke about living for the present. So then he's talking Hasidish Hazachim and so on. He goes, I see you people probably don't like to hear Hasidish things. He goes, I'm going to quote you something from this sefer over here. He takes out a Mishnah Berurah, he opens up the Mishnah Berurah, Shetuf Kuf, Ayin Allah. Speaking about Hilchos Tanis. So Hilchos Tanis, it says as follows. The Bir Halacha quotes this. Mishnah Berurah. Talmud Chacham. Ayin the Mishnah Berurah. Verisi Lahatik Po. I want to write down here, Masha Kosov HaShloch. So he says, Kama Chavetz Chaim HaChassid, he quotes the Shloch. B'Shem Sevech HaReidin, B'Zel HaShonu, Shemata B'Toch Sifrei HaMekubal, from Rav Yitzchak Luria Ashkenazi, from the Ariya Kodesh. The Sefer Echad Kosov Yad. So what does he say? Elu L'mi She'ein Amelu B'Toro, Aval, so somebody who, his Torah is not his new Moshe, that somebody who doesn't learn is the whole day, somebody whose Torah is not as a muscle, this is what you should do. Listen to this. Wow. Ava, Misha Torah, so continue learning, and you should do Yiras Hashem. However, and you should be Yibatim Lumad. But if not, Ach Yom Echad Min HaShavua, one day out of the week, Yisrachek Yibnei Adam, you should leave all mankind. Yis Bodei, right? You should be Bodei, you should go somewhere. Beino, Levain, you and God. And Yivakesh Machshavoso, and you should get your Machshavos together. Ki'ilu Kvar, Omri Lefano B'yom Din. Vaidaber Le'el Yisporech, Kol Yidaber Ha'evrot Rabba. There's a Dane that's talking to his another. What does he say? That a person should pick a day out of the week, and he should go to the forest, he should go where nobody is, and he should talk to Hashem. So Rav Merav explained, what does it mean to talk to Hashem? What is he talking about here? He says, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah, what is the Yisod of Tefillah? The Yisod of Tefillah is what? Is Midarais, a person's Yosef Tefillah, if he talks to Hashem. He wakes up in the morning and he talks to Hashem, that's Yosef Tefillah. Nu, Chazal, in an infinite wisdom, said, this is what you should say. And they created davening. Unfortunately, we have defined davening. What do I mean we define davening? We define davening on Monday. Davening on Monday, 35 minutes. Davening on Tuesday, 30 minutes. 29 minutes, 25 minutes, new. And therefore, it's very difficult in that time frame for us to talk to Hashem. So therefore, he says, or Rav says, if that's the halacha, this is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Talk to Hashem. We don't talk to Hashem. What does he mean? We're not living in the present. We don't live in the present. We're asking for this, we're asking for that. We're just saying what's written in the book. He says, if you live in the present, if you spend some time, he says, it sounds crazy. Right? People think you're nuts. To close your office door, to close the shades, and to talk to Hashem, to say, listen, I'm allowed to talk to you. Here's what's going on in my life. This is what I need in my life. So he said too often that we don't do that, and that's something that a person should do. And that struck me as an important thing. Again, going back to Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is a time where there's really nothing. You can only, right, and this is, as we know, it used to be the Parnassah people. This is what they would grow peiros. This is what they would do. And here they come now, the mid of the winter. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what the year is going to hold. They don't know what kind of pay rates they're going to get. But really, they put their hands up and they go, listen, I hope everything's going to be okay. And even furthermore, what happened before, no, that's what happened. Hashem, Moloch, Hashem was king. I wasn't good before. It doesn't matter. Don't think about the future. You said too many times in davening, we're always thinking about the future. We're always thinking about what will be, what will be, what will be. Why don't you think about what's going on now? What's happening now? How can Hashem help me now? It's important to pray for the future. It's important to ask that Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. And we know that that's what we want. But it's also important for a person to concentrate on what today is and what today brings. And I think that's the connection between Tu B'Shvat and Shabbos Shira. And that is that Adam Kiyat HaSod, as we say, Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machas Yigimbo, right? That's the pasuk that people quote. So Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machas Yigimbo, what does it mean? That what's the Eitz Chaim? First of all, the Eitz Chaim is life, but what's the Eitz Chaim? We know it's the Torah. And that's really what strengthens us to go through the times. And that's what Tu B'Shvat also recognizes, that Eitz Chaim B'Lamach Tigumba. Just to end off, the Mishnah says that B'davka is an interesting Mishnah. So he says, Rabbi Yaakov says that HaMahalach B'Derech, and he stops, Masik Mishnoso, and he says, Mo Nora, Ilan Zeh, Malach Kozov Kilim Mishchai V'Nafsho. So he says, how can it be Mishchai V'Nafsho? So I heard today from, I don't remember who it was, I was just listening to somebody geared me towards yeshiva.org.il, which is the Beit El site. So one of the Rabbanim there, he said, what does it mean, Adam Kiyat HaSod? I think it was quoting Rav Cook, Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, that what does it mean, Adam Kiyat HaSod? Why is he Manor? He says, Vedavka says Manor and Elon there. He's talking about Tu B'Shvat. He's talking about the times in the Elon, the Adam Ki Eitz HaSada. He's saying that this is exactly what the problem is, that a person is sitting and he's learning Torah, and to him, that's not important enough. That in the Torah, he doesn't have all the answers. He has to look at the Elon and he has to say, wow, there I see Hashem. That's Hashem. Torah, new. So that's also part of it, is that he's looking for ways to, what's out there? What's out? Ooh, a tree's out there. Oh, that's good. No, don't look in the future. You got something right here. It's called the Torah. The Torah's here. The Torah's here for you to learn. It's in the present. It applies to today. It's applied yesterday. It's going to apply to tomorrow. And that's what we have as the Yetzer. In the middle of the winter, when it rains and it pours and it snows and so on and so forth, this is what we're always going to have to enlighten us and to physically keep us moving during these times. So we certainly learned that Tu B'Shvat is, in fact, a very important chag, and there are many minhagim around it. If there's a connection to Eretz Yisrael, there's no question about it. It wasn't something that was invented recently. We don't say tachanun. There's no hespe. There's no fasting of any kind that's allowed. There are different minhagim about how a person carries out his Tu B'Shvat way, but a person should realize that it's not just stam a day that we don't say tachanun. It's a day that we're supposed to become closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. If for nothing else, but to recognize Hashem, that you know what? Today is the day where things are going to get better in my life. Why? Because good things are coming. Purim's coming. In just very shortly. In 4 weeks. And in 4 weeks from then, Pesach, things are going to get better. That's one of the things. It's great. The Chazal, really Hashem, had this wisdom of putting holidays in different places. Not Stamazach. They put it here, they put it there, but it was done for a reason, so that a person doesn't become, Nebuch, we know this is a sin, there's a winter syndrome, people go to psychologists for. But in the winter, people, it's just a dreary time. You can see it in all transactions, in business, or whatever it is. You see people are generally not as happy during the winter. Just the way it is. During the summer, everybody's happy, go on vacation, do this and that. So we see that this is the infinite wisdom of Chazal to create a Tu B'Shvat so that we can focus on the many different things. Thank you.